April is Autism Awareness Month, and we thought it would be a good time to talk about a multimedia project in which people with autism are sharing their stories and perspectives. It's called the Loud Hands Project, and it's being spearheaded by our guest, Julia Bascom. She also writes about autism and people with disabilities on the blog Just Stimming. Julia, welcome to All Things Considered.
Hi, Brady.
What does it mean to have loud hands?
Autistic people have voices, and we deserve a say in conversations about us. Loud hands is a phrase that recognizes that the way autistic people communicate isn't always the way other people communicate. Sometimes our communication is typed or symbolic or comes through pictures or our behavior, through our hands instead of through our mouths. But everyone can communicate, and it's important to honor that rather than punishing or ignoring someone because they communicate atypically, hence Loud Hands Project.
One of the most interesting videos I saw on the website for the Loud Hands Project was from a woman named Paula who said she had loud hands and she found a way to use them as an organist. But that seems to be the exception and not the rule. How is it that other individuals cope with the need to stim in situations where it can be misunderstood or misinterpreted by other people?
Finding a way to make someone's autism work for them instead of against them is, in my experience, generally how it works. Like, I have a friend who's great at and enjoys data entry as a result of her autism, and I have another friend who had a lot of problems with language and actually leveraged those issues into a doctoral degree in rhetoric. That said, I, like many autistic kids, was taught not to stim. I was restrained. I was told to have something called quiet hands, which is where you don't flap. We can suppress the need to stim if we have to. It's extremely painful. It makes us less productive, less able to learn, more likely to develop anxiety and depression. Being bullied or abused or being visibly autistic is extremely common, and it's not okay. It happens to a lot of us, and it happened to me. But then I grew up. I realized that I had a right to control my own body and space, and as long as I got my work done, people really didn't care how I moved. In fact, I've flapped and stimmed in the White House, and my general feeling is if the President of the United States can handle the way I move, so can the rest of the world.
This project uses multiple forms of media. So people who want to write can write. People who instead want to make a video could do that. How is that useful for a person with autism, and how might it also be challenging?
By expanding the range of ways people can express themselves for the project, we're able to bring more people in. Someone might not be able to answer the question, what makes you happy, out loud, but they might be able to film and string together a series of clips of them doing different things that bring them joy, and that can be even more powerful than a few words in a book. The main challenge is that a lot of autistic people aren't given access to different technologies, mediums, or methods of communication that we might be really good at, or we aren't properly taught how to use them. Like, I can express myself most clearly through editing videos, but before November, I never had access to a camera or any editing software. If someone spends their entire education in a special ed room and is never allowed to use a computer, they're being silenced. It's that simple. And we're hoping that the Loud Hands Project will start to open some eyes and turn things around as more people get used to the idea of autistic people speaking.
Well, Julia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Julia Bascom is organizing the Loud Hands Project. You can find out more about that project at our website, nhpr.org.